you're joining us on an open coaching call, and I'm just going to do a little recap of something we did before we started recording. I'm not going to name any names or usernames and passwords in this case, but it's just a little lesson about using cPanel and creating databases. And there's videos in the site on how this works, but it's just like a little heads up. It's a step that sometimes gets missed. And usually what happens is when you're installing software into your hosting account and you're not using the Fantastico auto installer, which automatically does all this stuff for you, but if you're doing it manually and you have to, or the software that you're using requires a database or a MySQL database to work, there's usually three pieces to that database setup. And I just want to go over them because sometimes you get in a hurry and you forget to do this last step that I'm going to talk about. So the first thing is you do, you log into your cPanel for your account, and one of the options there is the MySQL icon, and you have an unlimited number of databases that you can create. And what you need to do is create a new database for your new application that you're going to install. So you want to create a new database, that's the first step, and then keep an eye on what the actual name of the database is. And usually what happens is that in these programs, and specifically cPanel, when you create a database, it'll ask you for a name, and you can put, for example, widget as the name of the database, but the actual name that gets created will be your cPanel username and then an underscore and then the word that you typed in. So if you're cPanel username, it was in my case J Maduke, I'd have a database that was called J Maduke underscore widget. That would be the database name. So that's the first piece. You have to create the database and write down the actual name of the database. The second thing that you need to do is you need to have a username and password created, or you have to assign an existing username and password to have access to the database that you just created. And what most people do is they'll actually create a brand new username with specifically access to the new database that you've created. And the reason you do that is in case that something does get compromised, they're having separate usernames and passwords for each database allows you to keep your information a little more secure. So second part is to create a username and password. And once you've done that, the third step is the one that sometimes people forget about, is underneath the username, there's another link there that says assign a user to a database. And really what this step is connecting or making sure that the new username that you created has the rights to either edit, read, alter, access, delete, anything in that new database that you've created. And when you actually give it rights or you assign it, it'll ask you, do you want to give it all rights or do you want it just to be a read-only access? Or perhaps you want it to have all rights except delete, as an example. So in most cases, you're going to put all unless the software that you're installing gives you other instructions. But don't forget to assign the username that you've created to the database that you've created and make sure that the assigning rights are the ones that are required by your software. So if you ever get stuck on that, there's some cPanel videos that show you how to go through those particular pieces. And if you get stuck, open up a trouble ticket on that one. So, and that's, in fact, what we're going to do after this call, because one of the users has got a little trouble with some software and cPanel and the MySQL setup. So we'll do that offline and not mention any names. Okay, so just a little sort of heads up at the beginning of this, and we'll get into any questions. If anyone's got any questions, go ahead and shoot. Going once. No questions. There's got to be some questions. Dee, do you have questions other than the one we talked about? Swing and a miss? Okay, if there's no questions, I can't answer them. And I'm not going to rant for the whole hour. Who else came on?
James. It's Alex Munsell. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. I got a couple of things. First of all, I ran across a free tool that might interest your members. I've been looking for something like this for years, and I was too cheap to pay $200. And lo and behold, I came across something. I can't remember. It was a well-known internet marketer. I can't remember who it was. Doesn't matter. But anyway, it's a mind mapping tool.
Yes.
And it's free, and it's web-based, and it's powerful, easy to use. Beautiful, beautiful.
Which one is it?
It's MindMeister.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Like, it offers everything what Smart Draw does. And you could, like, if you and I, for example, wanted to do a project together, we could work on it together on the web.
Cool.
It's web-based. You don't download the software. It's web-based. I love everything web-based.
Yeah. How do you spell the Meister? How do you spell the Meister?
MEISTER.com, MindMeister.com. And I don't even know how they make any money because they don't advertise a lot on there, and it's free, so it's amazing, actually.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, you mentioned a couple other ones. There's MindJet, and I use one called Concept Draw, and this one looks very, very sharp, very Web 2.0 look to it.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Academic, business, and individual. Okay.
It's free to sign up, and there's no... like GoDaddy, you sign up to GoDaddy, and you go through 1,000 upsells. It drives me nuts. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this looks very, very nice, actually.
It is.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that one up.
Not a problem, because, I mean, the like Smart Draw, I was on a trial version, and I was almost ready to spend $200, and lo and behold, this came up and saved me $200.
Yeah. Now, the only thing, and I'm just looking at the stats here. And here's the important thing that if anyone that's looking on them, and it looks like MindMeister does that. It says export maps as image, PDF, or RTF. Okay? And one of the things that that you might want to consider doing is that when you're doing these mind maps is that you do have the ability to take the mind map and export it or publish it as a PDF. And the one thing to check with the PDF is that if you have hyperlinks in your mind map, you want to make sure that the hyperlinks work when it's exported as a PDF.
Right.
Okay. But this one looks like it does that. I'm going to have to try this one out, too.
Yeah.
Very, very sharp. Subscription fee charged annually in advance. Oh, they have a premium. Academic and business ones that are $4 a month, $6 a month, or $15 a year for academic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so, what I've got is free.
Yeah, they have a free one. The basic one is free.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at one of the pages a little deeper in there.
Well, you're looking deeper than I did. I was thrilled to see something that I didn't have to pay a couple $100 for.
Yeah, no, that's a sweet deal. How did you find that one?
Well, somebody recommended it. I got an email from an internet marketer.
Okay.
And I can't remember who it was. It doesn't matter who it was, but anyway.
Because that's one of the tools that I think everyone should actually start to use.
But, I mean, I know this guy that recommended it is a well-known big hitter, and he wouldn't recommend junk, and he says he uses it himself and saves himself a ton of time, obviously. Mind maps are a great thing.
Yeah, very nice. They have some multi-user ones, too, that they're making some money on.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they must be making some money on it some way or other.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very nice tool. Very nice tool. And you haven't had any trouble with it, like losing or having it slow or anything like that?
No, not at all.
Cool. The other thing that's kind of neat is I'm just looking at one of the pages here, which is the one for business, up at the top of business. They actually have a mind map that's there as a picture.
Right.
But it looks like it's a live mind map. Yeah, it is. So you can actually go and play around with it, too.
Yeah, I think they got quite a bit of instruction as well. Like user-friendly. Yeah,
very, very user-friendly. Oh, that's nice. Thank you for that.
Well, it's surprising what you can find out there.
Yeah, now I'm going to have another toy I got to play with.
I got another question.
Sure.
for a couple of years now, I've been threatening to. Actually, I did take a trial out for Traffic Geyser.
Yep.
It's pretty pricey, though, but they do offer a lot of training and stuff. Those guys are pretty sharp marketers.
Yep.
And I was wondering if you had ever used Traffic Geyser, and if not, what do you use or recommend, or is it necessary to send videos out to 100 sites? It seems to me that 90% of web stuff is on two or three, like YouTube and maybe Google Video, and there's only about three or four major players.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure the value of signing up for a service that sends stuff out to 30 or 40 or 50 sites when 95% of the traffic for web video is on two or three.
It's on two of them, two or three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's probably, that's my view of things as well.
Yeah.
And personally, I don't even submit to any of them.
Yeah.
Part of it has to do with your business model, and this is a good question.
Yeah, I know.
You sit there and you think, and I get just the same way as you do, there's every week it seems like there's the latest and greatest tool for doing something, submitting to somewhere, and you're supposed to get a gazillion hits of qualified traffic if you follow this one or use this one traffic tool. And you know, the thing that very rarely gets mentioned is that, you know, if your market is not video savvy or what you're selling has nothing to do with being entertained on YouTube or Google videos, you know, you may be throwing snow into the wind to see what happens.
Well, I guess their point is if you go after a major market, let's say like weight loss, if you've got a weight loss product, you go in and do your keyword analysis, and you come up with long tail keywords, and then you do a video on a PowerPoint presentation captured by Camtasia, for example, and do a video on these long tail keywords. Then you'll, in the natural search engine results, you'll end up, if you have a video out there, you'll end up in the first page of Google.
Yes.
If you've got videos all over the place.
That's right.
If you target certain keywords, I guess that's the rationale.
Yeah, and I think it probably works for pretty well for some markets.
Yeah.
But I'll give you an example. How did you find out about MindMeister?
That was being on a list.
And were you looking for videos that have anything to do with mind mapping?
No, but if I were to key in something to do with mind mapping in Google, and there was a video on MindMeister, then it might have showed up in the natural search results.
Yeah, well, I just did a search on mind mapping. Let's see what comes up.
Okay.
Wikipedia has the first two. A learning resources one for jcu.edu.ed Australia, so a university in Australia. And then there are two videos. One is with Tony Buzan, or Buzan, however it's pronounced, the guy that invented mind mapping.
Sorry.
And then it's back to regular results, and they're all mind mapping.
What about free mind mapping? A little long tail.
Yeah, and actually the Google results that I have anyway, they also have other searches related to it at the bottom, but let me just do free. FreeMind, which is the one, the open source one. And online mind mapping, the Mind Master comes in at third, but there's no videos on the first page for mind mapping. Now, on the other hand, let's take a look, for example, at weight loss. Weight loss on mine, no videos on the first page. None whatsoever, which is kind of odd because I would have thought there would have been.
What about, like, weight loss now?
On the second end of the second page, there's a YouTube listing.
Yeah.
Yeah, or how to lose weight. Let me just see.
Well, you are basically the pioneer of video on the Internet.
Yeah, you did
so
it a long time.
If anybody would know the ins and outs of video, it would be you.
Yeah. And, you know, that one of the things that I've been playing around with is, you know, this whole thing with video. If you look back, and at least if I look back and I take a look at all the different things that came up, and they cycle through. You know, whether it's blogging or AdSense sites or virtual real estate blogs or, you know, auto writing stuff or, you know, there's even one tool that I still have running on a couple sites, but it was the RSS to blog stuff. And it seems there's always the latest, greatest tool for doing something related to getting more traffic. And the bottom line is that I don't think you can rely on one thing at any one time, but you pick the things that you're comfortable with, and you continue to do them over time.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, and content is content. So if you end up having good quality content over a period of time, writing articles and doing blog posts, adding some videos, doing a podcast now and then, you know, you're gonna get some traffic. So it's kind of interesting. I've spoken to Mike a couple times,
yeah.
It's funny because I've seen the video as well where they're talking about, you know, it's the best thing to get on search. But the two that we did, they didn't come up, which is kind of funny. So I'll have to do a little more experimenting on that.
The one thing that he does, I got an email from him this morning, as a matter of fact, and he showed a detailed way of making money with his product.
Yep.
That's, when you think about it, that's a beautiful way to market.
Yeah.
You show a nice detailed video of a step-by-step way of making money with a video, and basically it's selling his product in a roundabout way. Like, that's a brilliant thing.
Yeah. I think that's the one that I saw. Is that the one where he was talking about the review sites?
Yeah, I think
so. About reviewing products?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, that's his latest video. He's spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on that video studio. And
yes, he did. He did a good job. The one thing that I did buy after talking to him was I did get a flip, one of the flip cameras. Yeah,
like
which
that.
Is. I don't know. My son took it the first day I got it and went to a concert. So I know that he got pretty good sound and some pictures of the band he went to see, but that's the last I've seen of it.
Yeah, well, you better get another one.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they're only $135. That's the big thing about them.
Yeah, they weren't. We had trouble. I know here. I don't know if you had trouble. They just started showing up at the stores here. They weren't here for a while. Yeah. So, but that's another another thing that I think is going to happen too is you're going to find a lot more ad hoc video coming out, and I think that kind of ad hoc stuff that has more entertainment value is another thing that can be used with his products that makes it it's an easier thing to do, and you're going to end up getting some traffic out of it if you can do something that's entertaining.
Yeah, you got to be entertaining.
Yeah, like the one thing I heard people talking tonight. I was at a Taekwondo class tonight, and some of the people were talking about Christmas lights, and here in Canada, of course, Christmas lights. There's a science to Christmas lights, but apparently if you do a Christmas lights video or you search for Christmas lights on YouTube or the Google videos, you're going to find some really entertaining videos.
Right.
Not about how to string Christmas lights, how to buy Christmas lights, or how Christmas lights work, or anything to do that's marketable, but it's about, you know, this house that needs a small nuclear reactor to power all the lights that are on it, right? It's like a Tim Allen Tool Time kind of house with all the music and the light show. But again, it goes back to this whole notion of entertaining. And I think that's the other thing that he's done with his studio. It looks like a malt shop, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Well, yeah, it looks like a Happy Day set.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is ingenious.
Yeah, it's something that, how can I get on there, have something that's pleasing to the eye, and be a pleasing personality that adds some entertainment and is able to sell and bring value to some people, as opposed to here's a PowerPoint slide with a voiceover on it.
Well, I've noticed he started to bring celebrities into that environment. Like, he had Tony Robbins in there at one time. And then he's got all these gurus, of course, Frank Kern, and a bunch of those California boys. He's like a lot of these. You're going to have to move to California there, James.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Most of the internet gurus are surfing with Frank Kern these days.
Yeah. No, I want to go to Arizona. That's my goal.
Well,
when I'm old and gray, I'll be in Arizona with all the snowbirds, I guess.
Well, it beats shoveling the snow in Ottawa, let's put it that way.
Yeah. So that's an interesting kind of story, just about the, you know, the search stuff and the videos and the use of video. So I'm going to keep my eye on that, and I think maybe all of us should to see what happens. I think the lesson is that you can't just rely on one thing.
No. Apparently, for some reason, Google puts a lot of emphasis on videos if you use the keywords for the description and the meta tags and all the rest of it. And they keep them up longer. So, anyway, I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
I guess a lot depends on what market you're into, obviously.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. No, that's a great observation. And I think, you know, the other thing that you know, here we are talking about him. Why? Because he's doing something a little bit unique, and he's marketing it well.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's the key to the whole thing, is do something a little bit unique, try and squeeze a little bit different out of it. I was watching a show on there was a show on CNN, pardon me, I think on the weekend, and it was Sanjay Gupta, you know, the doctor guy that does all the health related stuff on CNN.
Right.
And you know, it's funny. He was the show that was on was about how I guess 2 out of 3 kids under the age of 16 in the States now is clinically obese.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and it was a whole hour show on you know, eating and food and all sorts of stuff like that. And one of the little tests that they did, and I can't remember the book, I'm going to go buy it, but it's about a guy that wrote a book. He was one of the guys that was interviewed on it, but it was about willpower. And one of the things that they did in studies where they actually, you know, put people in situations to see if they actually have willpower is they actually had candies. They put a candy bowl in an office, and they would put the candy bowls on the corner of the people's desks, and they would do that for a week. And then for another week, they'd keep the candy bowls in the office, but what they would do is they would put it on a desk that was like 6 or 10 feet away from the desk where the person was working.
Yeah.
So the candies were still there. They still saw them all the time, but I think it was a 27 or 28% less candies were consumed when the candies had to be worked for. They're still in the office, but they had to be worked for. And the same thing happens, I think, with internet marketers is, you know, the latest gimmick, the latest tool, the latest way to get traffic, the latest way to earn money comes out, and it's the candy that's on the desk, right?
Yeah.
It's easy to grab. You don't have to work for it. But there's a cost to having those candies all the time, right?
Yeah, you're right.
it's extra weight, no teeth.
There's another lesson to be learned by that, though, and that is that customers, and I heard Dan Kennedy say this, it's tough to get a customer off his butt off a couch and go phone a toll-free number.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to, the lesson to be learned from that study is you've got to make it as easy as possible.
Exactly.
Multiple options for somebody to get their credit card out or make a purchase.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the key point. You know, even though it's easy, or don't, you know, as a marketer, you always look for the easy way to get what you want. That's the same thing for the customers.
Yeah.
And you're right. You have to make it so easy that there's no reason for them not to. And then, you know, put the candy right in front of them, right under their nose, and keep it there. It's like a feed bag on some cattle or something, you know. You got to keep it there and have that order button for them all the time, ready.
Yeah. Also, in that vein, I was wondering, like, I've got a site up that I've got hosted on your hosting service there for OmegaOnElectric.ca, and I've been trying to figure out, like, they're an electrician in Huntsville, and their economics is bad. They're in bad financial shape.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out how can I ever monetize that site. They're an electrician, so it's kind of a unique market because
if
you've got an electrician in Ottawa that you come and have wire your house, I mean, generally speaking, you don't want him back unless you're doing renovations or something. It's not like a restaurant or a barber or a hairdresser.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not that critical that they capture names and addresses. So I've been just... Anyway, to make a long story short, speaking of candy, I went for Alex Goad's Google Conquest on the weekend.
Yeah.
And there's five products that are ready to go on that, that were just sort of an add-on to the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the products, ironically enough, is a product that is an information product on how to save electricity in your home and your car and all the rest of it. And it looks like a pretty nice product. And I was wondering whether or not to, how should I set that up in a site? Should I set that up as a ClickBank product and just let ClickBank look after the stuff and have a link from his site? Or should I set it up in your system there as a product to sell with autoresponders? There's about 8 or 9 elements to this package. There's follow-up emails and there's whole bunch of things. It was really well done the way they've done it.
Mm-hmm.
The main product, though, is an ebook, and it sells for, I don't know, $19 or $27 or something like that.
Okay. So what they did is they've got one product, and then they've got a whole bunch of additional products that are there for you. I'm not familiar with it. I know the site, and I looked at it, but I don't purchase or anything like that.
No, I know you don't. It doesn't sort of fit in your business model type.
Yeah.
I was curious. He seemed like a sincere guy.
Yeah.
I was just curious to try it out anyway. But, he's got about, like, this is just, this isn't the main part of the program. It's just sort of I'm not sure exactly why they put these products. There's a weight loss product. There's an energy saving product. And then there's 2 or 3 more products. And they come in a zip file, and there's about 8 or 9 components. There's follow-up emails. There's squeeze capture pages. There's reports. There's the main product. It's a whole ball of wax. There was a lot of work put into it. I don't know. Maybe he bought it from somebody. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I don't know the products, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're just master resale rates products that he's picked up.
I was thinking, probably thousands of people got the same thing. But I'm not necessarily thinking that I might use that, but I thought, well, if I could find a product or invented a product, like, what would you suggest is the best way to, would it be to go through your business system with the autoresponders?
You can do that. The one thing is that you have to really think about how you're actually going to sell and market it. And one of the things that, one of the things that I look at is you either look at, for traffic, you kind of fall on two sides of the fence, I think. One is this whole natural search and kind of put it out there and let people find you and build your list and some of the longer-term approaches. And that, if you take that approach, it lends itself to one kind of business automation system. On the other hand, if you want to get in and make a quick hit, and you want to do a lot of joint ventures, and you want to have affiliates or other people doing most of the marketing for you, then if that's the kind of product and business you want to be in, then you have to sort of tailor it for that particular market.
In other words, ClickBank.
Exactly. You do your ClickBank or your Pay.com or whatever one where it's you offer 75% commission or 70% commission, and you flog the hell out of it, and you spend all of your time marketing and basically walk away from the what would traditionally be stuff like follow-up for autoresponders and search engines and writing articles and all of those kind of things. So it's kind of the 6 of 1 half. Both of them work, but the thing is that if you do it the ClickBank way, as I'll give you an example, and that's what these guys are doing, you need to have a new product every month.
Yeah. Yeah, because they just last for a brief period of time. If you've got JVs flogging them, they don't flog for a week, and that's it.
That's it. It's gone. So, you know, if you do it that way, you understand that your business is about,
yeah,
I'm going to do this, but I need to do 12 a year.
Yeah, yeah.
On the other hand, if you look and say, okay, I'm going to be in the weight loss market,
yep,
and I'm going to do fitness, I'm going to have, you know, these products on exercise, I'm going to have these products on diet, I'm going to have these products on stretching, I'm going to have these products on whatever, and at the end of the day, I'm going to have a complete system that's,
yep,
about weight loss and exercise. That is a fundamentally different business model than someone going, I got a book on weight loss, I got a thing on energy saving, I got a thing on cell phones and HDMI cables for my digital HDTV that are, you know, they may be great products and they may sell for a month, but at the end of the day, they have no connection to each other.
No, that's right, yeah.
And that's the thing that, you know, some of these ones, personally, I have trouble with ones that are, you know, business in a box kits, when that's what they have, is they have resale rights or master resale rights to products that are not interrelated or connected to each other.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, if you could take the system that they have, but if you had, as for an example, if you had all of my products plugged into it.
Right.
Or if you had someone who was doing, you know, motorcycles or whatever it is, but you had all of the different pieces, then that's a much better system for the long term.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I always get a kick out of, and I'm ranting here, but you take a look at, what the hell does they have called, why do they call this Google Conquest? I don't know why. But I always get a kick out of all of the people that have all of these, you know, $8,000 in 9 days, $10,000 in 12 minutes.
Well, did you catch the latest one? It was something like $535,602.35.
Yeah.
And the you'll laugh when I tell you this. I was going to mention this to you. The guy that's promoting this, I can't remember. I don't think he's a well-known guy. I don't know. But anyway, I got an email the other day from him, and it was the front page of his sales page. He was advertising this big fancy. I think his whole thing was, in order to get traffic, you don't go Google, you go the other two major search engines, because nobody's
using them.
Yahoo and MSN.
MSN, yep.
So I think that's their thing. But anyway, the funny thing is, when I went to the sales page, I think it was the sales page, and he had a video on the sales page. That's the first thing you saw on the sales page when he was, mm-hmm, advertising this. And I don't even know how much the product cost, but it was a fairly decent, it was a talking head video.
Yeah.
And the guy that owned the product, in theory, I think it was the guy that owned the product, was doing this video, and it wasn't a bad quality video, but the problem is, in the background was a bed in a motel room. You could tell it was a bed in a motel room because of the clock at the nightstand and,
yeah,
the built-in headboard. It looked like a motel room with the background of this video on a sale page. And not only that, but the bed was unmade.
He was busy. He was getting busy. He had his other video business running from the same hotel room.
Oh, my gosh. I thought,
yeah,
how sleazy can you get?
Yeah.
And it was too bad because, I mean, he did a good presentation, and it was a good quality videotape and everything else. But, my goodness, you got to pay attention to the detail when you have it on your main sales page.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I could see Frank Kern doing something funny with that and make a
something
joke.
Something entertaining.
Yeah, but this wasn't entertaining. It was just a poor design. I felt sorry for the guy, actually. Oh, man, there's a whole bunch of wired and weird people out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, the thing is, just it's like stick $2,000, Walt H., $2,000 in one day.
Oh, I know,
yeah.
I know.
I get scared when I see that kind of stuff. And the other thing,
yeah,
that pisses me off, too, is the, you know, before I show you the price tag, let's recap what's inside. My pure cash formula is $1,000. My automation suite, $1,997, is probably like a five-year-old version of the QuickPace Pro script that was given away by everyone.
Yeah.
So, you know, just be very, very, very careful with all of these things. Repeat profits. I always get a kick out of these ones, so scary. Oh, they're sold out. Alex is sold out.
Oh, Alex Goad?
Yeah. Where was, is he out of Toronto?
Montreal.
Montreal? Oh, I don't
not
know him.
Far from you.
No,
yeah,
I don't know.
He sold out $1,000 times 1,000 is a cool $1,000,000 plus $97 a month. Not bad, eh?
But unbelievable.
He's got a 3-month trial to it, so I figured, well, I'll see what he's got to offer. And
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and you know what? People will go and they'll look at it and they'll do it for a week and then they'll quit and they'll see some other session.
Yeah, something else will come along every Tuesday. There's two or three things every Tuesday.
Yeah, which is kind of scary. So,
well, oh, well, it's not the way to do business. I fall prey to that stuff.
We all do. We all do. That's part of the gig.
If we took the James Maduke and Ken Evoy way of looking at things, we'd all be better off.
Another Montrealer.
Yeah, I know. There's a whole bunch of people. I mean, most of the internet brains come from Canada. Look at Corey Rudel.
Yeah.
Even though he made it look like he came from the States. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah, exactly.
He had an address of Seattle, but he was from Vancouver.
Vancouver, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know, you know, even there's some other guys that do some affiliate, and Kyle and whatever. Carson are out of Vancouver. There's Michael
Daniel
Fortin.
Levis. Have you ever seen Daniel Levis stuff?
Yeah.
Well, he's pretty solid.
Yeah, and there's of course, Michael Fortin down the street.
Yeah, no kidding. I forgot about him there.
Yeah, he's been pretty quiet, actually, at least on the outgoing stuff. So.
He's a pretty sharp guy.
Yeah. I'll give you one other one, just to be the other one, because I just remember this one, and this is just a sort of a heads up. They had any time that any of these people talk about affiliate marketing and how they've earned all sorts of money doing affiliate marketing, always read the fine print. I got a kick out of one. There was one of the kids that was one of the guys. He said he had, you know, last year he earned $200 million, or no, it was $2 million in affiliate revenues.
Right.
But always remember the word revenues.
Right.
Because he paid out 80%.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. That was in the fine print. He had revenues of over $2 million, but I think he had 1.9 was what he paid out in AdWords.
Did he disclose that any place?
Yeah, it's in the fine print, and actually it was in one of the videos.
Is that right?
Because I was watching one of the videos in the background, you know, listening to it, and he said, well, yeah, you know, when they talk about it, but people don't pay attention to that. They just see the $2 million.
Yeah, that came up. One of the guys, I think that doctor mentioned that 2 or 3 weeks ago on one of your coaching calls, and that's the first time I've ever heard of it.
Yeah.
But I had watched a lot of that stuff, and I didn't notice that, so, yeah. Well,
very careful. You know, revenues and income are two different things.
Yeah, no kidding. I see that every day in my accounting practice. There's a lot of big gross revenues out there and a lot of big losses, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The one thing about the electrician, just to sort of give a heads up on, all their business is local, correct?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So whenever they're doing anything with keywords, just make sure that they have, you know, Huntsville.
Yeah, but if I'm selling an information product, then
I'm just talking about the traffic and the advertising that they're doing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I got to do something there, but I'm not sure if he'll be in business long enough. It's pretty sad.
To do it, yeah. No, it happens to the best of us.
He's in his 70s, and
yeah.
Anyway, it's a long story, but
yeah. You know, I had a member pass away this week.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so there's lots of, you know, lots of people are, you never know what's going to happen, put it that way.
Well, there's that famous hockey player that ran into the snowmobile accident in Quebec today.
Yeah.
Pitt Martin, I'm old enough to remember when he used to play.
Who was it?
Pitt Martin.
He used to play for the Penguins, or Philadelphia Penguins, I think.
No, he played for
Chicago.
He played for Detroit, Boston, and Chicago was his main team.
That's right.
The last year of his career was 79 with Vancouver.
Yeah.
But his heyday was with Chicago in the 70s.
Yeah, with Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita.
Yeah, they had a good team back then.
Yeah.
He was on the line with Jim Pappin and Dennis Hull, actually.
Yeah.
They were a top line for years and years and years.
Yeah. How could anyone forget a name like Pitt Martin?
Yeah, no kidding. He's from Quebec. a mining town up in Quebec. And apparently, this is interesting, he never spoke a word of English until he was 15 years old, and the Red Wings got him down in Hamilton to play with the Junior Wings back in 1961.
Mm-hmm.
And he, to make a long story short, he graduated 4 or 5 years later from McMaster University.
Cool.
And he never spoke a word of English until he came down to play junior hockey in Hamilton and graduated from McMaster with a big degree when he was about 20. He was a genius, I guess.
Yeah, very sharp. But anyway, he was
driving on a lake today and with a snowmobile and crashed through the ice, and that was it.
That was it. Man, it's a short time.
Terrible.
Take advantage. So we all have to market really, really hard in the time that we have.
Using videos.
Yeah, exactly.
Make beds in motel rooms.
Yeah. You know, and that's a business model, too. You know, at the beginning of the map, the first thing that's in the map that's, you know, you got to decide on what it is that you want. Some people just want to have one quick hit and then disappear after that, and that's fine. That's a business model, but you have to structure everything to support that.
Yeah, I heard your rant about membership sites.
Yeah.
That was a recent one, right?
Yeah. That one, yeah, probably that was a couple months old now. But just about all the Britney Spears, the crappy membership sites, I think it was called.
Yep.
Yeah, there's all sorts of them popping up now. They'll be there for a week or two. You know, a one-page membership site.
Yeah, no kidding.
So just be careful what you get into.
That was a rage.
Yeah. Who is there? Anyone else has got? Because we ranted a lot. You and I just talked a lot here. Has anyone's got a marketing question they want to get in?
Hey, James, it's Carol.
Hey, Carol, how are you?
I am so good.
Good. You've been getting more sales?
Did you see what I sent today?
I saw it, but I didn't read it.
Okay, well.
You send so much stuff now, I just don't. No, that's not good.
Oh, I know.
Kidding.
It's the truth. And, it is the truth. I've been thinking, man, I can't believe you're sending so many. In any case, today is the last day before I go to Mexico.
Yeah.
So I sent an email. Of course, I have these books. I've made these websites. I have these calendars. And today, my latest book is I finally got the website, and I said for a special introductory offer, you can get the book only today, the first 20 people. I was just doing all the things I've learned from you.
Yeah.
And a discount, instead of $16.95, only $12.95, and you get a free calendar.
Yeah, so you bundled it up.
I bundled it up. I discounted it, but heck, compared to Amazon, I'm still doing way better.
Good for you.
So you don't have to pay a percentage. And I got 21 sales.
Holy mackerel.
You did?
Holy mackerel, I did.
That's great.
Which is kind of insane because I should be packing, but.
Congratulations, Carol. That's beautiful.
Oh, it just feels so good. And what I love is the PayPal notification of payment.
You love that, don't you?
I just love it. Every time I get one, I'm like, yay. And this time I got, I think, 3 from Canada and 1 from the Netherlands.
Cool. And these are all people that you sent mail to from the My Small Biz Mail software.
Yes, that is absolute. And I'm getting used to using it.
Good.
At first it was a big deal. And your suggestion to write them in HTML was very, very good.
Good. I'm so happy for you. That's great.
Carol, when did you launch? When did you start this?
I started it this morning. I think I sent the newsletter at 6 or 5 or 7 this morning.
And you got 21 sales today?
Today.
Oh, that's so great.
That's right. And I made that scarcity business.
Yeah. Here's the important part. How many people are on your list, Carol?
1,000 and I think 20.
Wow. When did you start building that list?
I've been building it for 4 years because I started speaking. It's just the people who sign up when I speak.
Uh-huh.
But plus, I did a book blast with a friend. with someone else. Well, twice I've done book blasts, and I got 200 with one book blast and 30 with another.
Wow.
But most of them have been from speaking. And now,
I just want to make sure, just so everyone's clear on this, if they listen to this again. Now, you had 1,000 names that you collected from speaking engagements, basically, correct, over the past 4 years?
Mostly, but I've also got some from the registration on my blog.
Yeah.
So I've got, 20 or so. And also on my speaker website, there's sign up for a newsletter. I got about 10, here and there.
Yeah. Now, here's the important part I want everyone to know. When did you start or actually start mailing to them?
Oh, a month ago.
Yeah, last month, within the past 3 weeks.
So you have 4 years of collecting emails, 4 years of collecting emails, but never communicating with them until, like,
right.
Because I didn't know how.
Because she didn't know how. She didn't have an autoresponder set up, didn't know how to do a newsletter or a blast.
Wow.
Nothing. That's right. And not only, I once, maybe 2 years ago, this is what motivated me to start with you, James. I once set out an email to, I had maybe 500 then. And out of the 500, I got, say, 20 unsubscribes, or I've got a new email address or whatever. It took so long looking through that because I didn't have anything automatic.
To manually go through and find the email addresses in Outlook.
Horrible. And even now, sometimes the unsubscribe is not automatic, but the list, all I have to do is find subscriber. It takes me there, and I change whatever has to be done.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes at the most 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Not per one. Yeah, I get two or three.
Yeah.
Then it takes 15 minutes to get them done.
Excellent.
Yeah, it is. So that's why I'm sending so many, because it's a piece.
Now, here's the other thing. Did all of those go through the My Small Biz cart?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing I'm using. And see, I made this blast today that the book is like only $12.95, and tomorrow morning it's going back up to $16.95.
Yeah.
Is that the right thing to do?
Yeah, sure. And be honest and put the price up.
Yeah, because otherwise I feel dishonest. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, I'm happy for you. That's great.
It's fun. It is fun. And
marketing can be fun.
You know what else, James? What you've said all along, it's all about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been so helpful. So like this guy who wrote from the Netherlands, who, I get the PayPal thing. So then I wrote back to him and I said, are you really from the Netherlands? And is it raining?
Yeah.
And so now I've got a rapport, we emailed back and forth now.
Yeah.
And another guy, I'm not even still, with all the help I get from you, I'm still not that technologically advanced.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent an email where I said, as you had suggested, James, I sent a bonus every day, and then on the fifth day or the fourth day, I said, did you receive all the bonuses? If not, here's the links again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sent it out, and none of the links worked. So I sent an email, another newsletter, like I said, it's so easy now, and said, obviously I'm not technologically advanced, and I think this time the links will work.
Yeah.
And I got emails from people, yes, Carol, you did it right this time.
Perfect.
So here I am. The things that normally you'd say, like, I'm not perfect, I messed up.
Yeah.
Actually, what this business of relationship is where it's at.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being a little bit vulnerable.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that. Oh, that makes me happy. Thank you, Carol. That's great news.
Thank you, James.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So, Andrew, did you have a quick question?
No, I was just calling to hear some motivation, and I heard it from Carol. it's. I think this is the dark before the light for me right now.
Yeah.
So I I heard exactly what I needed to hear.
Yeah, that, you know, that's a great story about persistence and keeping at it, and then just trying to follow the simple steps, you know.
Yeah, James, when you think I've been a member for 2 years,
yep,
and at first I used to just constantly be on mute because I couldn't even understand what you were saying. I mean, I didn't even know most of the words, and
yeah,
even now there are some words certain people get on. Oh, sometimes you answer. I have no idea what those terms are, but I'm patient.
Good, good. You know what? Just while you mention that, I did upload, I bought the rights to a book that has 250 internet marketing terms and descriptions.
I saw that. Did you mail that out?
Yeah, I did, I think, on the 10th or the 11th.
I saw that.
And if you don't have it, you should go and grab it because it's not too bad.
Okay.
I'm going to redo some of it because I have the rights to it, because there's links to some of Guy's other products in there. But it had some good it was Eric Holdrum, I can't remember how to pronounce his last name, actually did it up. So.
Okay.
But a very, you know, if you get stuck on some words, there's some good descriptions and definitions of some words in there.
Good.
Good. Oh, that's great news. That makes me really happy. Now, wouldn't it be nice if every day was like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe it will be now.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be more often, because the next thing that I'm going to do, which I'm really excited about and will take some work, in January, and I've already told everyone, because one of my bonus gifts was like a sneak peek of my first e-book.
There you go.
All the people, they've already downloaded like 48 pages, and the whole thing will be maybe 100, 120 pages. So I know they can all download stuff, and in January I'm going to put it out there, charge like $9.95 or something,
mm-hmm,
and see if I just get that notification of payment received without doing anything.
Yeah. And then you know, the thing that's always nice is when you get into this is you get a system in place where, you know, basically your job becomes, how do I get people into the front end of the system? You know, how many book blasts? Can you do a book blast a week?
Yes, I see what you're saying.
You know, could you do a book blast a week? Could you do an ad swap with someone once a week? Could
right.
you do a joint venture every month?
Right, right.
And then now you've got this thing where the system's sending out emails over time on your behalf to all of the different sites that you own or have products and services and offers on. And then as you get going on this, so you say, you know what, I know someone else who was talking to me who has a complimentary product or service, and all you have to do is you have to put an email into your series that goes out to them that sends them to that site with your affiliate link.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
You've got the basis of a long-term profitable business set up now. But
gotcha.
All your job is to prime the front end of the pump.
Gotcha.
Either you or hire someone to do it, but it's
yeah.
going to be you in the start.
Yes, first, me at the start.
Yeah.
And what I'm going towards is a suggestion of yours right from the beginning, where I won't be only doing products, but I'm going to start doing like a monthly teleseminar.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm going to set up a number of people I'm going to interview on Atlantis or 2012 or something like that,
yeah.
experts in the field that I know that my list knows these people and would be thrilled to hear them.
Absolutely.
And then get them to sign up for a year, basically set up my interviews and
mm-hmm.
then say for only this much and only on this day. Again, I know how to
yeah.
do it now. Sign up, because this is a great opportunity, and I would that would be really easy. Then I can tape it and say that, it, you know what I mean. There's
well,
more.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because I'll just give you an example. Last week, I changed over to the Host Conference Pro that includes the automatic MP3 or WAV file recording of all of the phone calls that we're doing. Okay.
Right.
The other thing that I did over the weekend is I did 24 videos on the My Small Biz website builder, which I put up yesterday. Those are all up if you want to know how to build a website without doing any HTML. But the other thing that I did is I started adding all of my products to Kanaki.
Oh, did I tell you about that?
You reminded me about it.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't used it. So what I did, as an example, is the Joomla course has, the Joomla course right now I think has 3.5 gigs of videos in it.
Mm-hmm.
102 videos. And I was having people download that, which is absolutely atrocious. So what I did is I put it onto a DVD, and then with the Kanaki software, created a DVD. I had them create the cover. It's just a little web thing. I'll do a video on it so that you can see how it works. But basically, it's got a cover, the name on it. I create a DVD, and then I press a button, and it takes a copy of the DVD that you've created on your PC, and it uploads it to the Kanaki service. And right now, and I'm sure you're aware of this, Andrew, I think it's $1.75
yep.
a copy, including a case and graphics.
Right, and shipping.
And shipping. Now, don't you have to pay for shipping extra?
You may have to, but still, the mere fact it's $1.75 for manufacturing graphics and a case, this
yeah.
is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then they mail it to the customer.
They mail it to the customer.
Right.
And I've got someone writing a little thing for my shopping cart so that it automatically sends an email in the right format to Kanaki
right.
when something's sold.
Yep.
With the shipping address and everything, so I didn't even have to know about it. It gets
right.
shipped out.
Right.
And the other thing about Kanaki is they don't require a minimum amount. You can
no.
Right.
Just one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One or 100,000, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Same price.
And
that's unbelievable.
And if
yeah.
you ever want to do something that's a little more robust in the self-publishing, like a step up from Kanaki, we're using Vervante, and they're freaking awesome.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Vervante is, they're beautiful. I mean, their graphics
yeah.
are super. And they integrate with one shopping cart. And
what's the well, can you send me the link to that one?
Sure. Let me do it.
And we'll put a little thing in the form on it. The only reason I mention this, Carol, is because
yeah.
guess what happens if you interviewed one person a month and made a CD of it?
What?
Then you can set up with Kanaki, have Kanaki automatically send the people the CD of the month.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
$1.75.
Gotcha.
So, you know, you go to there, or you have someone transcribe it as well if you wanted to and charge extra for the transcription.
Right.
And you know, I think there's a couple places you can get transcriptions that are, I've seen as cheap as, I think it was $39 an hour.
You know what? I got mine done. I went through Amazon.
Oh, the Turk? Amazon Turk?
I actually got somebody to do a one-hour teleseminar for $24, and it cost me like $2.40 with Amazon, so my cost was $26.40, and the woman did a fabulous job.
Perfect.
So I don't know where she lives, but I may just email her directly and say, hey, you want to, you know, I'll give you
yeah.
a raise to 25 or 27. I'd rather give her the extra $33. I'm like, good Lord, she did such a great job.
Yeah, can you just go over that just for someone who doesn't know what the Amazon Turk service is? And I'm just going to mention that it's not available outside of the U.S. right now.
Oh, it's not?
No.
I wouldn't know that. It's kind of like, it's just a bidding service. You just go on there and you say, this is kind of what I'm willing to pay and what I'm looking for, and then people bid, and it's a little bit complicated to set up, but I found somebody who had a blog that explained how to explain it, and you basically have to kind of set up the job and say, okay, well, here's the job, and this is what I have, and here's a description, and this is what I'm looking for. And then what happens is people can go and take a look at it and see if they want the job or not. And it has to do with hours and some of it's like once the person logs in, they have so many hours to complete a job or so much time to complete a job. All the instructions are on the Amazon site. But it worked flawlessly for me the first time out of the shoot. So
it's micro-build, is it not?
Basically I had to put like $27 into my account, and it cost like $26.40. Like the Amazon kept $2.40, and the woman got $24, and I have, you know, like a 60 cents still on my account. You just kind of pay you know, as you go or whatever. You just have to put money, you have to put money into your account, you know, and then, you know, then now you have an account.
Yeah, and I remember when I first found out about it, the thing that was kind of intriguing about it is this whole notion of, you know, where you can put money into escrow, basically, into that account,
right.
And use it where you need, getting the jobs done that you need.
Right, right, right.
And it's not, you know, a little bit different than, you know, you going to a freelance, you know, guru or whatever, or hire a guru or whatever, where it's like an on a project kind of thing.
Right.
You can put some money in, and you know it ends it up. I think they were looking at the example that I saw was that you end up paying like 1/100th of a cent per word for transcriptions.
Yeah, I think I had to figure out somehow. I don't even remember how I figured out, but I thought, well, let me just put. I think it was I was willing to pay so much per hour or something.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what it was. I remember thinking, well, maybe for a one-hour teleconference, if they were good, maybe they could do it in 3 hours, and so I would pay $8 an hour or $24
yeah.
or something like that. Or
yeah.
so much per minute, or maybe that was it, $2
yeah.
for a 15-minute interval, or I don't remember exactly, or so much per word. I don't remember how I did it.
Yeah.
I could look it up and find it, but...
Yeah, but that's something to be aware of, is this whole Amazon thing, because there's two other... like, I know I got my bill today for Amazon, which all of the videos are almost all up on now, and my bill was $10, I think, for the month.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. So the Amazon, you know, in the cloud storage, the other thing that they have, which I played around with but haven't used yet, is they actually allow you to upload applications now. So,
really?
For example, you would be able to upload your Joomla site to Amazon and have it running off of Amazon.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So
wow.
If you've heard the term cloud computing, that this is really what it is. It's just think of Amazon as a huge computer.
Wow.
So you have space in the cloud, and it's like, you know, if your Joomla site, you're going, oh, great, I got a Joomla site now, and, you know, it's too big for my server. I got to go get a bigger server. No, you don't need to. You know, you run it in the cloud. And it's basically unlimited bandwidth, unlimited, it's unlimited everything. It's huge. And the other thing that's going to happen here is you always hear about people, you know, we had the launch and the servers crashed and yada, yada,
right,
yada.
Right, right,
that
right.
won't happen.
Oh.
Just won't happen. So that's the other thing that...
Are they, like, partnered with Google or something? I mean, how can they afford that to be that...
Well, Google is doing their own version of it. Microsoft has its own version of it coming. And I believe IBM has one and Amazon has one, this whole notion of cloud computing. But the thing is that if you look at what Amazon is doing, Amazon, and if I'm not 100% sure on this, but it's my understanding, is it's like Amazon has all of this infrastructure to support Amazon.
Right.
And they're really good at the infrastructure part because they had to get really good at it.
Right.
So what they did is they said, okay, we have this infrastructure that can support this. What would it really take to support 10 versions of that?
Mm-hmm.
And they started building out, and they say, well, we have enough for 10 versions, but we're not using it all right now. So why don't we give people access to it? And when they get into these large computing environments, the thing is it's not a question of having, you know, one server and access to one server. These things are all clustered and redundantly clustered together in different physical locations, and a lot of really sophisticated stuff happening. But it's like, if you've ever heard of blade computing, it's like they can plug in a blade, which is like think of a big rack with a whole bunch of slots in it.
Right.
And you know, you start off with a system that has 10 blades inside this cabinet, but the cabinet has room for 10 billion blades.
Wow.
So all that they end up having to do is they shove a new blade in each time that, you know, that they need more stuff. But as far as the users go, it's like if you needed 10 more, they always keep enough for, you know, to make it redundant and working properly, but they can just keep on plying stuff into the cloud, and you have access to it.
Definitely.
As if it was a standalone machine that you were on. So that's the kind of neat stuff that's going to be coming down the pipe. And you're going to see, for example, all of the Microsoft Word an office suite will actually be live cloud computing. You're going to see a whole bunch of neat stuff in the next year come out with that.
So you won't even be downloading stuff onto your computer anymore? You'll just be using it online?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you take a look at, this is something else for us as marketers just to think about. I don't know if you're on the beginning of the call, Andrew, but you're talking about, you're a big mind map user, are you not?
Oh, I love mind map. It saved my life. I can't even imagine my life without it now.
Okay, well, one of the other members was talking earlier talking about MindMeister, which is free. And if you go take a look at MindMeister.com, you'll see an application that just runs on the web.
Mind, M-E-I?
Yeah, I think it's, is it M-E-I?
M-E-I-S.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a German spelling. Online Mind Mapping, MindMeister.
Yeah.
Oh, I have seen this. It's because you can do it with other people. Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know it's free.
Yeah, it's free. But if there, that's technically what that is cloud computing. Now, I don't know if they're actually using a cloud service to do it, but this is how stuff is going to be delivered to us as consumers. We're going to be always connected and always have access.
Wow.
Like, I take a look. I got my son's, I got our cellular bill today.
Okay.
And just looking at my son's, I guess they call it a Fave 5 program or whatever. Which are we don't have to pay for the five, you know, you pick five numbers that you get for free.
Okay.
But I looked at it and I figured it out over the past 28 days. He was on the phone for how many of those 28 days? How many days do you think he was on the phone with those friends?
How old is he?
He's 16.
I'll give him 27 days.
No, he was over a day. It was over a day, over 24 hours.
Oh, okay. I thought you were asking how many days was he on the phone. And I was
no, he was on all 28.
Oh, okay.
But he was actually the time that he used. You know how they do a breakdown
days,
of the time?
He used more than 24 hours in a 28-day period.
Yeah, so with just five people.
Wow. You know, he needs to get a headset so he doesn't get, like, brain cancer from the
Well, that's
evidence.
What I've been telling him. I'm telling him, too. You keep that cell phone in your front pocket, do you?
Yeah, that's going to be frying his nads.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm telling you.
Exactly. So I've already been on to him about that.
He just thinks you're probably being, oh, yeah, Dad, whatever. No, but seriously, that's a really, seriously, he needs to watch it with that stuff.
Yeah. But that's just an example of the whole group of people coming up, right?
Oh, everybody's, I know.
Super connected. Like, you know, I walk around the grocery store, and it's like a whole bunch of... Anatrons, you know, hooked up with their wireless headsets on, walking around doing groceries, having conversations by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only going to get more and more like that. So we got everyone's connected, all sorts of access to everything, and then how are we going to make a connection with them?
I have a quick question based on what you just said. I have, since January 1st, I've unsubscribed from over 350 lists. Okay. I still have about 25 internet marketers I follow, you being one of them.
Yeah.
But I'm even getting to the point now where I'm really tired of trying to even just keep up to see what's going on in the marketplace. because the thing is, I need to, you know what? I have this book, and it's called How Would Buddha Ask for a Raise?
Yeah.
You know, enlightened answers to tough business questions. And I'm at the point at this point where I need to put my head down and build this business. And I feel like I cannot afford the time of these even trying to keep up what's going on in the marketplace with either software or new developments or whatever. But there's even these handful of people, I'm kind of afraid to unsubscribe because I'm not going to know what's going on. And if something happens, you know, I'm going to miss it. But I'm just sick. I'm like, I don't have time for email.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sick of it. So do you have any suggestions? I mean, I need to get my business to five figures, you know.
Yesterday.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that as a desperate. It's very interesting because at this point I just feel like I need to put my head down and put blinders on and do whatever it takes to get off the ground.
Well, you know what? Here's I think, and this is not my idea, but by any means. But the one thing that I have found that usually works is that if you schedule email time.
Well, I've done that, but the problem is I can't get through it all.
Delete it. If you can't get through it, get rid of it.
But what about the difference between deleting it or shoveling it into an archive folder versus unsubscribing?
You can do that. Either one is fine. At least you can go back and search for something if you need to.
Okay.
But just, you know, do your like at 7:15 to 7:45 is my email. I reply.
Okay.
And then, you know, from 4:15 to 4:45, that's when I check to make sure there's nothing urgent, and then those are the only two times that you check it.
And if it doesn't get done, it just, you know, because everybody...
They'll phone.
Like,
someone will phone you. If it's really important, someone will phone you.
Okay. Because
that doesn't apply. Now, if you're running a support desk or, you know, something like that, that's obviously a little bit different. But, you know, set up another mechanism to handle ongoing service issues with existing paying customers.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't have any paying customers yet, so I'm not concerned about that. I'm just trying to get rid of, you know, if I'm not on email in 2 days, I got 250 emails.
Yeah.
And it was just overwhelming. I don't even want to open it because I'm like, oh, God, there's going to be more stuff in there. And the thing is, some of it I want to look at, some I don't want to look at, and I just, so I'll just do that. I'll just start hitting the delete button again.
Yeah. You know, I have a couple books. I'll look for some books because I read some books on, you know, how to handle email.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be something good to add to the library.
Do you have any suggestions about unsubscribing from more stuff versus just shoveling it or deleting it?
Well, you know what? My personal preference is just to unsubscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, what I tend to do is the only people I don't unsubscribe to...
Yeah.
Are people that I can creatively plagiarize the emails that they've sent me.
Well, that's another reason I've kept some of the stuff, because a lot of the marketers, it's like good swipe file material.
Absolutely. So like if you look at a Jimmy D. Brown letter,
mm-hmm.
absolutely beautiful emails.
Okay.
Okay, so I keep those guys I keep subscribed to,
mm-hmm.
but the other ones I just remove. And you know what? The thing that for me, if the easiest thing for me to really decide to subscribe or not to subscribe,
yep.
is whether or not they're selling their own product or not.
Meaning.
So if the person that you're subscribing to, let's say you've got you're subscribing to a list of 10 marketers.
Yep.
What you do is you look at the marketers and say, of those 10, which of the 10 are the majority of the time promoting their own products or services?
Versus
someone who had one product and then promotes affiliate product.
Oh, yeah, that was an easy, that's a no-brainer. Those are easy to get off that list.
Yeah, exactly, because what happens is that it's the same crap from the same people over and over and over.
Exactly.
Again.
Then when somebody has a product launch, you have, you know, like, you know, 20 or 30 emails of everybody promoting the same
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly, and you got to go through them all. So just
right.
My preference is if someone has their own products and services that are of value, and they're not flogging affiliate products daily,
right.
stick with them.
Okay.
You know, archive those ones, save those ones, but if it's anything else, see you later.
Okay. Yeah, because even that process takes time.
Yeah.
subscribe.
Yeah, and do it over time. You'll know.
Right. Okay.
You'll know. And you know, it gets better.
I'm just going to shoot for... being like Carol, just getting excited to get my site finished and get that first sale.
Yep.
Hey, guys, I got to tell you something else.
You had a sale while we were on the phone?
Maybe. I don't know how good. No, I just want to tell you something funny. Okay? Of the people who were buying my product, first of all, are people that are in my town that I know, that I see every week.
Oh.
I mean, we go to a Search for God study group meeting once a week.
Yeah.
If I turn up there with books or calendars, it feels like I'm selling to them. Okay? they signed up and were sending me emails. Oh, please, I hope I'm one of the first 20, Carol. Remember me, I'm a friend, you know, that kind of stuff. And they're paying $6 shipping.
In your hometown.
Yes, they just bought it on Saturday when they see me next.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Good for you. Oh, that's great.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's already 10:30, so I got to end this. It's time for me to have a life.
Okay.
Okay.
And I just want to count all Carol sales tonight.
Okay.
Well, okay, perfect, guys. I want to thank everyone for being on the call. This one was recorded, so I will put it up. And if you missed it, there are 24 videos that I added for the My Small Biz website builder. Start to finish, how to create a site without any HTML, if you're into that, with the hosting account. And then the other thing that will happen is I have started the autoresponder email series video. So those ones will be up shortly as well. So
okay.
Cool. Okay, take care, everyone, and best of luck. Keep your chin up, Andrew.
Okay.
And congratulations, Carol. Thanks, everyone else, for chipping in. And, Dee, if you're still on the call, I'll take a look at that other thing shortly. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.